Hello, everybody. This week's parsha is Parshas Kisavai, and the parsha begins with the words "V'ha'ya Kisavai la'aretz," and it will be when you come to the land. And the parsha commands us the mitzvah of Bikurim. The Baal Turim notes, though, that the parsha begins with the word "V'ha'ya," and it will be, which seems to imply that there's a connection with the previous parsha. The last parsha, Parshas Kisavai, ended with the commandment to remember what Amalek did to us and to get rid of Amalek. And the question is, what's the connection between the mitzvah of getting rid of Amalek and the mitzvah of Bikurim? So Baal Turim very interestingly says that apparently Amalek was the guy who was always trying to make sure we don't get into Eretz Yisrael. We know the Torah tells us that Amalek attacked us when we left Mitzrayim, when we tried going to Eretz Yisrael. The Baal Turim says more than that. Amalek was the guy, says the Baal Turim, who told Paray that Klal Yisrael was not planning on coming back. That Klal Yisrael was already in the desert for 3 days and they weren't planning on turning back. And not only that, says Baal Turim, Amalek was also the guy who, way back when Yaakov ran away from Lavan, Amalek went and told Lavan that Yaakov ran away. It's always been Amalek who's been keeping us from coming into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Torah says, finally, after you get rid of Amalek, then you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael and start bringing Bikurim. That's the Baal Turim. But I saw in the Sefer Oyel Maisha, he says a different idea. He says, we know that Amalek epitomizes the Midah of basically fear of denying Hashem's, so to speak, involvement in the running of the world. We know that the Torah uses the language of Asher Karcha Baderech. That Amalek, when they attacked you, the Torah says the language of Karcha, which Rashi says the language of Mikra, happenstance. Amalek's whole ideology was to go against the idea that there's a Hashem who runs the world and is involved in the world, and everything here, it's a free-for-all, it's all happenstance, it's all Mikra. So, the Torah is telling us that there's two polar views on how to see the world. There's Amalek, that everything's Mikra. And then there's the Yid who comes into Eretz Yisrael, and after conquering Eretz Yisrael, and building up Eretz Yisrael, and planting his vineyard, and planting his field with wheat, he stops, and instead of saying, wow, I did all this, after all the effort I invested, and everything I put into building this wonderful orchard and this wonderful field, I recognize that ultimately, with all that, it's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows me and it gives me the strength and it gives me the ability to do this. And I take that first fruit and I go to Yerushalayim and I go to the Beis HaMikdash and I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am Makir Tayyib, I recognize that everything comes from you. And that's the connection with the two parshas. The connection is that Amalek epitomizes completely denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in this world. And the parsha of Kisavai, after we've gotten rid of Amalek, epitomizes what Klal Yisrael understands to be true, which is that everything and anything we do, every bit of our lives is only through the goodness and the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is constantly taking care of us. And that's why Bikurim is such an essential mitzvah. It's something that defines us as who we are as a nation. We're people who are Makir Tayyib. They say, you know, we're called Jews. Jews come from the word Judea, which really, in the Torah, we know Yehuda's name is Leah gave it to him because Apam Oida Es Hashem. Leah said, I give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And she made Yehuda's name a name of thanks, because that's what a Jew is by definition. He's somebody who is thankful and he recognizes that all the goodness he has comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We wake up in the morning, we say Maida Ani. The first thing we do is we thank Hashem for giving us another day and giving us another chance. You say a story, the Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal, when he had a open heart surgery, they brought in a surgeon from America, a non-Jew, and a top surgeon, and he did the surgery, and thank God the surgery was successful. And Rabbi Yashiv, when he was recuperating, he asked his family, how do you say thank you in English? Rabbi Yashiv spoke Hebrew, he spoke Yiddish, he didn't speak English. He said, how do you say thank you in English? So they said, why? He said, I want to tell the doctor thank you for doing the surgery. He said, you know, we can tell him for you, it's fine. We can speak English, we'll tell him, you don't need to worry about it. Your job is to recuperate. He said, I want to tell you something. He says, look in the whole Shemayna Esrei, we daven Shemayna Esrei, and then the Chazan goes, and he repeats Shemayna Esrei in case for those who don't know how to daven, those who don't know how to fulfill it. And the Chazan says it, and we fulfill our obligation by listening to the Chazan. There's only one bracha which we have to repeat ourselves. We can't rely on the Chazan for. And that's the bracha of Maidim. Because to say thank you, you have to do it yourself. And that, again, brings out this point, that being grateful and being someone who recognizes the goodness that everyone does for us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, is something that's essential in defining who we are as a people. Later in Pasuk Dalet, the parasha tells us that when the person brings Bikurim, he brings it in a basket, and the Kohen takes the basket and puts it in front of his back. And the Gemara tells us that the halacha was interesting, that if a poor person would bring his bikurim, he would come in a wicker basket. So the kohen would keep the basket and not give it back to the poor person. Whereas if a rich person would come, he would bring his bikurim in a basket of gold or silver, and they'll give it back to the poor, to the rich person. And the Gemara comments, you see already this concept that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. But I saw in the Sefer Meshulchan Gavaya, that brings two pshatim as to why this is. Why is it that a poor person, he doesn't get his basket back? The Kayan keeps the basket, and a rich person, they give back the basket. So Aaron Box said an interesting pshat. He said that, you know, a rich person, when he brings, so he brings his basket, he brings Bikurim, he brings a lot, he fills up the basket full of fruits because he has the money to do so. A poor person, he just brings the bare minimum. He brings that one, you know, that one pomegranate, that one olive, whatever the bare minimum he has to bring. But he's embarrassed. He doesn't want everyone to see, so he kind of stuffs the basket with, you know, the confetti on the bottom and the paper. He makes the basket look full, but really, it's only got very little in it. So in order to avoid the poor person getting embarrassed, the halacha is that the kohen takes the basket as is and just puts it on the side. He doesn't open up in front of everybody else. That's one shot. But I saw a Darki Musar, but he says a different shot. He says, when a rich person comes and he brings his bikurim in his gold basket and silver basket, he gets a lot of, you know, approval from everybody else. Everyone sees him and go, wow, what a guy. He brings such beautiful baskets of gold. He's so rich. He's so amazing. When a poor person brings his bikurim, it's hard enough for him as it is to bring bikurim. But he goes and he goes and he brings his bikurim, his little bit that he could bring, and he brings his basket, and the basket also he doesn't have money for, and he goes and he puts it together, he weaves his own wicker basket, he buys it for whatever money he has, and he comes and he brings his meager present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because this is all he has. Says the Darki Musar, when a person comes and he gives it his all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he tries and he doesn't get any credit and no one else respects him, but he's doing his part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's so beloved to me that not only am I taking the Bikurim, which are actual mitzvah, but everything you put into it, even the basket, becomes so holy and so precious to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers that part of the Karban, and that becomes part of the mitzvah, and it gets taken to the Mizbeach as well. Later on in Revi, Moshe Rabbeinu commands the Jewish people and tells them when he comes into Eretz Yisrael to write down the Torah in 70 languages on a set of stones that they would put outside Eretz Yisrael, right by the border. The Gemara inside tells us, in fact, there were three sets of stones. One they put up in Arvus Mayav, the other they put up by the Yarden, and the third they put up right by the border of Eretz Yisrael. The Rishonim discuss how do you fit the whole Torah on the stones. Some say they only wrote down the actual mitzvahs. Some say it was a miracle. But being that as it may, the Torah gives us a commandment to write these stones and put them outside Eretz Yisrael. The Baal Turim points out that the Torah used interesting language as v'hikabahakim moisa l'chavonim. You should stand up for yourself. You should erect for yourself stones. It says the Baal Turim, you only find this language of hakim, hakama, of standing something up, one other place in the entire Torah. In the whole Messiah, in the whole Tanakh, this word is used one other place. He says, we're b'hakama sa mishkan, and we erect the mishkan. That's it. That's the Baal Turim says. Now the question is, what's the connection? What's the connection between these stones and the mishkan? So Sefer Das Torah, Biruchim, explains as follows. He says that the stones that Klal Yisrael put by the border of Eretz Yisrael, they had a very important purpose. At first glance, you know, they didn't do much. We don't find that the non-Jews came and read the Torah on the stones, you know, or Megayer in mass. We don't see how that happened, but they served a different purpose completely. Says Reb Ruchim, imagine you have a guy, he has a store, right? But he has no sign in front of his store. So no one knows what he's selling. No one knows what his store is about. Imagine you have a guy, he's a police officer, but he doesn't wear his uniform. So no one else knows what he is, and even he doesn't know what he is. When a guy puts the sign on the store, when a guy puts on a uniform in the morning, he tells himself and all those around him who he is and what he's doing right now. He defines himself. Klal Yisrael is being commanded that at first we had a Mishkan. We had a Mishkan now as a place that defined that we were serving Hashem. Now we're coming into Eretz Yisrael. We're putting up our sign, we're hanging up our nail, we're saying this land, this country, it's about one thing. It's about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and following His mitzvahs. That's the point of these Avonim, and that's what they did. And it wasn't about being Megayer or other people. It wasn't about anybody else. It was about defining for ourselves what we're about and what we're here to do. Afterwards, in the Parsha, in Chamishi, Moshe Rabbeinu commands Klal Yisrael that when they go into Eretz Yisrael, they should have this process where half of the Shvatim go up on Har Grizim, half go up on Har Evel, and the Levim will stand in the middle, and they declare 12 blessings and curses. Specific blessings and curses. And the Mefarshim explained to Kliyakar and others that these specific 12 things are chosen because these are things that no one else can know about. When the Klal Yisrael was living in the desert in the Midbar, everyone knew what was going on. There was no room to do any of these things without other people noticing. Now you're coming into a country, everyone has their own plot of land, everyone has their own place, and there's certain temptations and certain averas, which are very, very prone to happen without no one else knowing. And therefore, the Torah emphasizes these 12 things to kind of reinforce them when they're going to Eretz Yisrael. But what's interesting is the last one, the 12th one, is Arur Asher LaYakim is Divar HaTorah HaZeis. It's seemingly like a very general curse and a blessing about not being making, not keeping the Torah HaZeis. And Rashi says, in fact, that this was a, so to speak, kailel, or something that incorporated the whole Torah in this blessing and this curse. But the Ramban, he argues in Rashi. He says, Divrim Shatim, and what is this specific thing of Arur Asher LaYakim as a Torah HaZeis? Cursed is the one who doesn't uphold this Torah. He brings a Yerushalmi, which interestingly enough says that this is referring to somebody who's doing Hagbah in the Shul. That when he picks up a Torah, you have an obligation to raise up a Torah so everyone can see it and make sure that the Torah, so to speak, is seen to all. That's what's referring to Ara Sherla Yakim. Cursed is the one who doesn't uphold the Torah. But then the Ramban says something else. And he says, Ara Sherla Yakim is referring to a different idea. There's a person's personal obligation to keep a Torah, to keep the mitzvahs, and to do everything correctly. And then there's an obligation to uphold the Torah, to make sure that the Torah is upheld by everybody else, to make sure to be there, to make sure that everyone else keeps the Torah, to promote the Torah, to stand up for the Torah's sake. It's a general obligation on a person to do what he can so that the Torah, in a general way, for the rest of Klal Yisrael, is upheld. The Ramban says, if somebody has the ability not only to learn himself, but to get others to learn, to inspire others to do the right thing, to make sure that other people don't go around and say bad things about the Torah. If a person doesn't take that initiative, he's not fulfilling this commandment of Ara Shel Yakim is Divrei HaTorah HaZeis. I saw a story, Rabbi Elia Svei said that when he was visiting Eretz Yisrael one time, he came in to see the Reshiva of Mir, Rabbeinish, I believe Rabbeinish Schwinkel, and Rabbeinish is already very old, already I think in his 90s at that point, and he came in to visit him, just to say Shalom Aleichem. And the first thing he asked him is, he said, I need money. You know somewhere I can get money from. So Rebellion said, wow, okay, interesting. You know, hi, how you doing? What are you so desperate for money for? What's going on? He said, I'll tell you what it is. A Sephardish Bachrim, there was a big immigration of the Sephardi Jewry in Eretz Yisrael, and he saw that they weren't being matzliach, they weren't being successful in the Litvashi yeshivas and Ashkenazi yeshivas. And he decided that we have to start opening yeshivas for Sephardim, their own yeshivas, their own Rabbeim, and their own Talmidei Chacham, to raise up the Sephardi Bachrim. Rebellion said, Rabbeinish had somebody who already built a Mir Yeshiva. He built up many other yeshivas. He was someone already in his 90s, but he didn't rest. He saw a need. He saw that there's something that had to be done. He got to work right away, and that's it. He started moving because he was somebody who felt that achrayas, that responsibility to be making material. It's somebody who felt the responsibility. It's not just enough that I'm doing the right thing, that my own talmidim are doing the right thing. It's my obligation to do whatever it is I can to uphold the Torah in Klal Yisrael as much as I possibly could. So I want to end off with one last var. Torah tells us that after the blessings and the curses and the Hagrizim and Har Evel, Klal Yisrael made a Mizbeach on Har Evel. And Ramesh Feinstein asks the question, he says that we know that Hagrizims were the Jews who represented, so to speak, the side of blessing stood, and Har Evel is the ones that got the curses. So why make a Mizbeach on Har Evel? Make the Mizbeach on Hagrizim. Har Bracha, the mouth of blessing. Why make it on Har Evel? So I saw a beautiful pshat. We know in the end of Megillas Eicha, there's an interesting pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki im ma'ois ma'astanu katzafta aleinu ad ma'id. Ki im ma'ois ma'astanu, if you've truly become disgusted in us, katzafta aleinu ad ma'id, you're too angry at us. Too much ketzef, too much fury. And the Hamak Dover explains as follows. He says, give a mashal. He says, imagine you have a suit. You have a guy who has a suit. So the suit gets a really bad stain. Your kid goes and he knocks down a whole bowl of cholent on your pants. So if it's a cheap suit, a suit you're not crazy about, what do? You try cleaning it a little bit, it doesn't go, okay, throw it out, you move on, you buy a new suit. But if it's a really, really nice suit, it's a suit that's expensive, a suit you really care about, you go to one dry cleaner, so they don't get it out, you try a different one, you order one of these special cleaners online, and you invest in it to make sure to clean the suit and to make sure it works. Why? Because you care about it. And you'll do whatever it takes to clean it out. Klal Yisrael saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ki im ma'ois ma'astan, if you're truly disgusted in us, Hashem, then you wouldn't be so furious as you wouldn't take out so much anger and constantly be kind of punishing us and making sure to change us and clean us and fix us, you would just throw us out. Rather, from the fact that you're doing that, that's the biggest sign that you want to keep us around, you want to invest in us, you want to have a relationship with us. Har Grizim represents blessings, represents when Klal Yisrael is doing the right thing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and he gives us blessing. That doesn't show the depth of their relationship. Har Eivol, which shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, so to speak, never going to give up on us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's never going to throw us away. He's going to work with us and work with us and work with us. That's the biggest sign of the endless and the, so to speak, eternal relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's where we build on his back. Hashem should all be zeichet to have a wonderful Shabbos, should know only blessings, and we should be zeichet to appreciate what it means to have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever and ever.